just apparent to me how much of a love that we can develop for you, because you are so kind to send Jesus, because you loved us. And so, Lord, help us to return just a portion of that love, not only today, but every day of the week, as we live out the reality of how much you loved us to send Jesus. And, Lord, it's in his name we pray. Amen.
As we start today, we're going to have a special by Abigail Round. Okay, now we're going to sing Angels from the Realms of Glory. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, ye have seen his natal star. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Please stand and we will sing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort. Mother Mary heaven, said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of the Virgin Bride, to free all those who trust in Him from Satan's power and might. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood each other now embrace. This holy tide of grace, all the other doth replace. Tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. You may be seated. We will sing one of my favorite Christmas carols, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head, there is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead nor doth He sleep, the wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on His way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And as we turn our hearts and minds to communion, we will sing Silent Night. Please stand. Silent night, holy night, all is calm. Lord,
founding fathers understood that the birth of our nation was connected to the birth of Jesus Christ. The founders also understood that it was within the message of Christ's birth that the nation would find true meaning and purpose. Thomas Jefferson would state, "The Bible is the cornerstone of liberty." James Madison wrote, "We've staked our future on our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all our heart." Patrick Henry would proclaim, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Benjamin Franklin declared, "God governs the affairs of man, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?" John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, would make the connection. The birth of the United States to the birth of Jesus Christ and Christmas, when he wrote that, "Why is it that next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most joyous and most venerated festival returns on this day, the 4th of July? Is it not that the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation, is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior, Jesus Christ?" Reflecting on the real meaning of Christmas and the real meaning and purpose of the founding of the United States, the meaning and purpose can be found in a song in the fifth verse of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It goes like this: "In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. Let his truth keep marching on." 2 Corinthians 3:17 said, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and liberty." Freedom and liberty do not exist without Christ being involved. If you've turned on the TV in the last few days, you basically have two choices to watch. It's either gloom and doom news, or it's some, quote, Christmas special that has absolutely nothing to do with the real meaning of Christmas. I've endured several of the Christmas programs, specials, whatever, the last few days with family and grandkids and whatever. And there's only actually one that I know of that had anything to do with Christmas, and it was Charlie Brown's Christmas. And a question was asked by Charlie Brown to Linus: "What is Christmas all about?" And Linus gave to Charlie Brown an answer that was really powerful, and it's an answer that many in America need to discover again. Linus answered Charlie Brown by quoting the King James Version of Luke 2:8-14. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Today, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, as we come around the communion table, we want to celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection so we may have freely the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life with him, because he paid the ultimate price. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we just thank you, Lord, for the birth of Jesus and his example on the earth for us. And we thank you, Lord, for his death and his resurrection, that we might have the hope of eternal life in heaven with you. And I just pray, Lord, as we come around this communion table, we do so with reverence and respect, and we partake of this in a manner which pleases you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We've had Deb gone from us the past couple Sundays, and so we've had some unique things as far as in church, and so we appreciate Alex being a part of our worship service. They do a great job. Appreciate their accompaniment. I want to give you a thought towards perspective. If you had a chance to attend Christmas Eve services on a Sunday morning, I noticed that as the communion plates were being passed, I could not tell if the glasses had been used or not. And I'd hate to have been the people sitting in the back. That was really a tussle. And so mine was the one with lipstick on it, Gary, so I don't know if you caught mine or not. But anyway, I had to hold it up and hold my glass up to whatever light I could find, and then I could figure out if that glass had been used or not. Then I could take communion. I didn't want to swap spit with any of you. I guess I say that because oftentimes we need perspective. Would you agree with that? We need perspective. We need a different look at the way things look. Hi, good to see you. We need perspective. And today, as I brought up our worship time with Alex leading and our services, mind you, when you come into a church building, we try to set perspective. We read a scripture. We try to sing songs. We try to have communion time. And then we have an offering time. And then now we have a message time. And I think sometimes, even now going into a message time, we don't have the full perspective of Jesus. Are we really focusing on Jesus? And one of the things that comes out of our passage of Scripture this week is Psalm 116, verse 15. Listen to this. It says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants." Or, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones," as the New American says. And so I just want to encourage your hearts today as you move forward into the message time with me. It's this thought and process. Did you realize that Jesus finds you precious? God finds you so very precious that he thought, "I'm going to send my son for you." That's how precious you are. And when you have someone who thinks that you're that precious, you want to be a faithful person. You want to be godly. And so we're going to pause for here for just a moment. And if you don't mind, just pause on the reality of just how precious you are. Very precious you are. Lord, perspective is a big deal. And as we contemplate what it means that you found us precious enough to let your own son die for us, and we didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn that. But you deemed us precious enough that you would send your son to die. And so, Lord, that gives us pause for thought, which is perspective. And so, Lord, here we are, the day after Christmas. And sometimes we forget that it's good to be grateful. It's good to praise you for sending Jesus. We love you, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, if you've got your Bibles, there's going to be a Psalm 116 there. Psalms is easy to find. Crack your Bible in half, and you'll be able to find it, I guarantee. And we're in verses 116, the whole chapter today. God makes it easy to love him. God makes it easy to love him. And love comes to us in strange places through strange circumstances. And I would say what I'm about to share with you today is more than strange in circumstance and place. But this is a kind of love that's powerful. And powerful in the sense that this kind of love is faithful, kind, grateful, and endures. Now, I'm curious, after your family event yesterday, was that the kind of love in your house? Faithful, kind, and enduring. And so love is something that we've defined in many ways. Some of us love pizza. It's not that kind of love. Some of us love television shows. It's not that kind of love. Some of us love what we got in the Christmas wrappings yesterday. It's not that kind of love. Some of us love old cars. It's not that kind of love. The love I'm talking about today can only come to you from a sense of experience, a sense of experience. And this type of love that comes from experience, it's very fulfilling. Very fulfilling. And it's deep. It's deeper than most of us even contemplate. And it's even eternal. Something that lasts beyond the grave. So if you bear with me for a moment, I want to walk with you through a memory. Not mine, but when we're done today together, it'll be a memory that we can share with each other. You see, it happened at 2 a.m. It happened at 2 a.m. And at 2 a.m., Private First Class Samuel Davis was in his line where he has manning his 105 howitzer. And he heard something that was quite ominous. He heard mortars sliding down the tube. Sliding down. Meaning, here he was, November 17th, 1967, at 2 a.m., and he hears mortars sliding down the tube. That means mortars from who? The enemy. And so if you can imagine this, we have 105 howitzer sitting here, and then just right on the bank of a canal is where his howitzer is sitting. Across the canal was the enemy lines, and there's another howitzer behind his own howitzer. And he heard the mortar tube sliding down, and then the eerie pause, and then what came next was just ominous. Raining down upon his position was mortar after mortar after mortar, and it didn't stop for 30 minutes. For 30 minutes, mortars rained down like rain and hail, rain down, and at exactly 0230, the mortars stopped. Eerie silence. And then a coach's whistle pierced the darkness, a coach's whistle. And the coach's whistle rang out through the darkness, and then these words, "Go kill the GI." Go kill the GI. In English. It wasn't in Vietnamese. It was English. And the officers of the Viet Cong wanted to make sure that our boys heard that very sound. And what happened was, earlier that day, Samuel Davis showed up in that area, and immediately, as soon as they get off the helicopter, they began engaging the enemy. There's a slight lull, and then that's when the 2 a.m. happened. And so what happened next was quite unique in the sense that the enemy didn't quite know where that howitzer was. So what that is, they loaded what they call beehive rounds. I'm going to show what that has in just a minute. They loaded beehive rounds. And the reason they load beehive rounds is because that essentially makes your howitzer a shotgun. And they're firing it at man level, so you know how close the enemy is. And as they're firing, and they began to load the howitzer with beehive rounds, and when they fired, it gave something the enemy has been waiting for. Because when you fire a firearm or a howitzer at nighttime, guess what you see? You see fire, okay? Large fire. Well, across that canal, someone thought that they needed to have that opportunity to see that howitzer lit up. And the howitzer lit up, and the RPG aimed right for where the flash of that howitzer was. And then when they shot that howitzer, it just hit that howitzer in such a way that it flew Private First Class Samuel Davis off his howitzer. They fired at his muzzle blast. And what happened next was the enemy then came across that canal, and the enemy was able to capture his howitzer, and the enemy started to turn the howitzer back towards their own guys' howitzer. And what happened next was something that they're expected to do. They had to fire, the second howitzer had to fire down on that first position. They were also firing beehive rounds. And the unfortunate thing for Mr. Sammy L. Davis is he was laying next to his howitzer when that was happening. He woke up. That would probably wake you up when someone's firing at you. He woke up, and when he woke up, he looked up over to the canal. There's 150 to 200 of the enemy sitting there approaching his position. He grabbed his M16 rifle, and he began to fire as much as he could. He said he felt like he had died and landed in soldier hell. He says, no matter what I did, no matter how many rounds I fired, the bad guys just kept coming at me. And the worst thing about it, he was running out of ammunition. And his howitzer was his last chance. He was the only crew member left of online there, the howitzer, the only crew member left. And so he did what he could and found some rounds that he could load in his weapon that he did all on his own. And he put everything in the howitzer and he pulled the lanyard. And nothing happened, and his heart sank. He said the howitzer began to shake and buckle, and all of a sudden, boom, a large explosion. And the howitzer flew up in the air and came down on top of him, breaking his back. He got out from underneath the howitzer, and he was severely damaged. And he said this, he was aching everywhere, his legs were numb, but he knew he couldn't quit. He says, you don't lose till you quit trying. You think about a guy like that named Samuel Davis. Think about a guy like that. What would drive a guy to volunteer for a war he didn't start and could not hope to finish? What would cause a guy to do that? And if you ever look online for some interviews for this, you can find what I found out. This is some pictures of Samuel Davis. He said this about why he went to war. He says, I went to war because I love my daddy and wanted him to be proud of me. I love my grandpas and I love my country. Love drove a man to want to go to war in Southeast Asia. He had a long family history of men who served the military, and that love for his family and those men that served drove him to fight for them in our country. And here's what I hope today. I hope that after we hear the message about Sammy's life, that you and I will recognize that there are people following after each one of us. They're following after each one of us. People are following us. They're looking at us. They're following us, and we're going to hope today that you and I can be inspired to love God in such a way that people say, wow, that's love. And so I want to encourage your hearts today as we think about that. People are going to look in our lives every single day and see how we love. And we're all familiar with the commandment of Scripture because we know as Christians we're supposed to love the Lord our God. Let's read this together. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You know, as you read that context, sometimes it's hard for us. And here's what's hard. You see, for many of us to just simply say, I love God is an enigma. And here's why it's an enigma. How can I love someone which I have no experience? How can I love someone I've never touched? How can I love someone I've never seen? How can I love someone if I don't have any feelings towards that person? And those are great questions. And the only thing I can tell you is this, is that our version of love is incorrect. Our version of love is incorrect. And so God knows this about us. God knows that we view love as sinfully human-based, whereas God views love as His base, God-based. So this is what God does. God's amazing. He's amazing, amazing, amazing. God makes loving Him easy based on who He is. And I'm going to share with you some verses today out of Psalm 116, how God makes loving Him so very easy. And so the first one today, if you're following along with your sermon outline, is this. I love God. I love God because He listens to me. I love God because He listens to me. Let's say that line together. I love God because He listens to me. Psalm 116, 1 through 4. I read this to open up our service today. Here it is. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because He turned His ear to me. I will call on Him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. As Sammy began to load another round after he got the howitzer off the top of him, began to load another round, pointed across the canal, someone yelled out, don't shoot, I'm a GI. Don't shoot, I'm a GI. And there was some light that was shot into the sky that evening. As the light was shot in the sky, he noticed there was a GI down there holding his boonie hat across the canal. He said, don't shoot, I'm a GI. And he could tell he was a GI. But he had no idea who it was who was stranded over across the canal. And Sammy at this point thought, you know what, my body is very feeble. Because here's what happened. When his howitzer was hit, it flung him off into his foxhole, and he was laying there with his flak jacket on, and he was exposed to the howitzer behind him. And remember, the enemy came and captured his howitzer and was turning it around to fire on the second howitzer. Well, this howitzer fired down with beehive rounds, okay? And this is what a beehive round looks like, okay? If you see that shell right there, the beehive round has a whole bunch of these things in it right here. These are called fletchettes. That's a shotgun cell. That round right there has about, I've heard anywhere from 8,000 to 18,000 fletchettes. And so, when they fired that round towards Sammy's position, guess where those were going? Into Sammy. And because he had his flak jacket on, he had at least 30 fletchettes go through his legs, and some lodged in his back. And remember, he'd already been fighting off the enemy. He had his howitzer land on him. And now he says this. He says, my body was in real feeble condition. And he says, I knew I just couldn't run down there and swim across this canal. So I thought, well, I got to find an air mattress. And so back in those days in Vietnam, the Army was kind enough to let these guys have air mattresses to sleep on. So he found an air mattress. And what he did was he used that air mattress and swam across the river. And he stashed it in the bushes. And then he worked his way towards those guys who were crying out to him from across the river. There were three men in that foxhole. One of the men was either dead or unconscious. I couldn't tell. And so Sammy knew this. He said, I've got to get this guy on my shoulder. So he got the guy they thought was dead or unconscious on his shoulder. His other two friends are here on either arm. He had an M16 strapped around his neck, and they started towards the river. And what Sammy did was he took this unconscious guy, and he put him on the mattress, and they floated out across the river. And then Sammy said, Lord, I got to have help for this because I can't do this. This is exactly what he said. He says, Lord, I need help because I can't do this. And he looked up to heaven and prayed that prayer, and then he was able to make two trips. Get the guy that I thought was dead back over to across the river, and then come back and get the other two guys and go back across the river. And here's what I understood about Sammy. Sammy cried out to our God, in a moment of terror, turmoil, and torture, and guess what happened? He was heard. God listened to him. He listened to him. And this is amazing for us. Think about this concept, okay? This is amazing for us. God makes it easy, okay? God makes it easy for us to love him. And this is powerful for us. Don't forget this. God makes it easy for us to love him when you're crying out for mercy. Because if you look at the text again in verse 2, he says, he heard my cry for mercy. Look, if you've ever known sorrow and pain and agony and heartache, and you just want someone to listen, guess what God's going to do? He's going to listen, okay? And so he's crying out for mercy, and God gave Sammy mercy. And if it works in the jungles of Southeast Asia, guess where else it'll work? And then students say, it, that's how God operates. That's his character. And so think about this. If you look about that moment in verse 3, how much death was entangled around Sammy's life? Oh, that's unimaginable. And so you and I as people, we've all faced death. We've all faced sorrow. And it's one of those things that's very challenging for us as people to face. But here's what I know about our God. He makes it easy for us to love him because he hears us when we go through those times of death, anguish, and sorrow. And this is, don't miss this. This is a pretty important phrase. I want to run it by you. Here it is. It's in those moments when there is nothing left of you that God listens to all of you. When there's nothing left of you, God listens to all of you. It's very powerful for us to consider that. So here's a thought I have for you and I as you contemplate the reality that God listens to you. Start praising God. Think about this. When you're going through a very challenging time, you've got to remember and praise him and love him because he hears all of you when none of you is left. That's how God works. When you've got nothing left to give, that's when he shines the best in your life. God listens to you when you cry out to him. I love God because of who he is. Remember, we're discovering how God makes it easy to love him. And this is something about his character. I love God because of who he is. Say that with me, would you? I love God because of who he is. So Sammy recalls at that moment when he was hit by that RPG, when that RPG hit his howitzer, he recalls a sergeant there on the line with him, Sergeant Gant from Lansing, Michigan. And prior to that, Sergeant Gant was really what he called, what Sammy would call a mean old sergeant. Sammy called Sergeant Gant a mean old sergeant. He says the meanest sergeant he ever knew. He was never known. He was a bitter old man. And this bitter old man was 27. He says every night, it says bitter old Sergeant Gant would make those guys take every round out of the magazines from the M16. They had to polish every round and then put all their magazines, loaded magazines, out before they even go to bed. Every night he made them do that. He also made them in the heat of the day in that Vietnam weather, he would make them sit in their firing line. And because those shells, the howitzers work, they have to manipulate those shells in such a way where they dial in what they need to do. Okay, they dial the shell in and program the shell, if you will, to what the shell is supposed to do. They had to do it blindfolded in the heat of the day. And they hated the sergeant for doing that, making it blindfolded in the heat of the day. So they had to do it by feel, if you will. And so the men thought he was mean for doing all these things. And so that morning, at 2 a.m. in the morning, when that RPG round hit that howitzer, here's what happened. He says the RPG hit and the shrapnel flew. And as the shrapnel flew, it flew Sammy 8 feet off his howitzer and said the last thing he saw of Sergeant Gant was he was flung through the air and then I saw him stumbling away through the darkness of the night. And you do recall what I just told you about Sammy rescuing the men across the river. Here's what happened. When Sammy rescued those three guys from across the river, he came up out of that canal, that river, and as he came up out of the canal, he saw Sergeant Gant. And Sergeant Gant was half in the canal and half out. And as Sergeant Gant looked over, I mean, as Sammy looked over at his sergeant, the sergeant held out his hand for Sammy. And as Sammy ran over to look at Sergeant Gant, something became apparent. And here's what became apparent. That when the RPG had hit the howitzer, there's a metal plate that protects it. When the RPG had hit the howitzer, a piece of metal shrapnel struck the chest of Sergeant Gant, throwing him from the howitzer. And now he had a gaping hole in his chest. And as Sergeant Gant reached up for Sammy, Sammy thought, oh, my sergeant wants me to hold his hand. And Sammy even thought, he was sitting there holding the sergeant's hand. They said, well, maybe my sergeant will give me an order. That way I'll know what to do. He'll give me an order. But because of the grievous wound that Sergeant Gant had, the sergeant was unable to talk. But Sammy said this in an interview. He says, as I look down on my mean old sergeant, if you will, he says, a light bulb came on, and he recognized in a moment's notice why all the mean things a Sergeant Gant had him do. Any idea why a sergeant would have men do a howitzer shell with a blindfold on? Because guess when the enemy attacked? In the night. They had to do everything by feel. And he said it was in that moment he realized that Sergeant Gant wasn't mean. He realized that Sergeant Gant loved him and wanted him to survive. And Sammy literally said, I quote, he says, you have to love someone a whole bunch to pick on them so they'll survive. And so you and I think sometimes we think God's the same way. I don't know where you've been in life, but I've been some places in life, and I think I've seen God like this as well. I think many of us see God as a demanding, barking, order kind of God. And when you experience life, like a lot of us have experienced, sometimes it's easy to see God that way. But as I contemplate the reality of experiencing the true character of God, I gain perspective. I gain perspective. You go beyond something that you realize that you hadn't realized before, that God truly does love you. Now look in verse 5. Look in verse 5. The Lord is gracious, righteous, and our God is full of compassion. How many of us deserve grace? We are pitiful people who are full of sin, and God gives us grace. And so think about this. Our God is gracious. He's always right. God is never wrong. He's always right, and He's full of compassion. I'm sure Davin's thinking right now, hope my mom's compassion with my rear end. Look in verse 6. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, He saved me. You know, there are times in your life when you're very unaware of things. There's times in your life when you're naive. And I think the better word for naive is called denial. And then sometimes we're just simple. We don't even think about it. But here's what God does. God is kind to protect us when we are unwary, naive, and simple in our thinking. He protects us. Look in verse 7. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. You know, I it doesn't take long to realize that we're tired. And so look what God is saying. Our God is good to us. And He desires our soul to rest. Because not only are we physically tired, but I think, as Rick said about the news, it doesn't take long to realize there are so many of us that are emotionally tired. We're tired. and God desires rest for our soul. Look in verse 8. For you have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Our God rescues us from death. Who else can do that? Who else can rescue you and I from death? And so our God rescues us from death, and He rescues our eyes from tears. And the reason I, for example, tear up on mornings like this, because I contemplate the character of God. I understand my character. And I think, why would God ever want to save me? But that's who He is. And so He protects me. He keeps me from tearing up, from anguish and those type of things, and from stumbling. Look in verses 9 through 11. That I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living, I trust in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. And so you know what? Granted, you and I have to live this life, but we have to live this life. So how do we do that? Well, look what he says here. Look, our God's desire is to walk with you in your daily life. Not tomorrow, or God did it yesterday. No, he wants to do it every day. He wants to walk with you every day of your life, and he knows that you are afflicted. You know who afflicts you the most? People. People afflict us the most. They harm us with their lies, their behaviors, and God knows that, and he wants to walk you through every day of your life. So here's what I thought I want to run by you today as we consider this is, you know, I know we have to choose to love God, and here's how God makes it easiest. Stop doing this. Stop thinking God is cruel and unkind. He's not. God is not cruel and unkind. You got to stop thinking that. You got to repent from that line of thought. You got to start believing and dwelling on the character of God to be gracious, righteous, and compassionate. Gracious, righteous, and compassionate. Our third thought today is this. I love God because I am precious to Him. Let's say that together. I love God because I am precious to Him. Most of us do not realize how precious our life really is. As the wounded Sammy was leaving the battlefield that day, you may recall I told you that he rescued that man across the river. And when he got to that foxhole, to that man across the river, that man had a wound in his left ear. A bullet had entered his left ear. He also had a wound in his chest. And so it would be apparent to most of us at whatever time of morning they rescued him, then that pitch dark of night and that November 17th, 1967, that if you rescue a man who's got a hole in his left ear from a bullet and a hole in his chest, he's likely dead. And so that's where they placed that man. They placed that man among the dead, and as the battlefield was over that particular day, helicopters came in to fly, and as the helicopters came in, they picked up the dead last. As they picked up the dead, that man was among the dead with tarps over him, ready to be loaded up into the helicopter. Sammy called him his buddy. As the medic began to load the body of that man into the helicopter, something happened. As a matter of fact, a bubble came out of the chest wound of this man that Sammy calls Jim. And the medic grabbed the stethoscope, and miracle upon miracle, guess what he heard? He heard a heartbeat. He heard a heartbeat, and in a man that they thought once was dead, now a medic heard a heartbeat. You see, that man's name was Jim Dyster, and that's this man right here, Jim Dyster. He lives in Salina, Kansas right now, lives in Salina, Kansas, and he went back home to become a family man, and Sammy goes on to say that he had the opportunity to hold Jim's grandchildren. You think about that. Sammy said that he recognized that had he not done his job that night that was given to him, that Jim Dyster's life would have been forfeit. He would not have lived. How precious do you think Sammy is to Jim? Now, I don't know the age of this child right here, but how precious do you think the life of Sammy is to that grandchild now? I don't know, but I'm assuming pretty precious. Because had not been for Sammy, that grandchild would not even be there. And so let me ask you a quick question. How precious do you find the Lord? How precious do you find the Lord? Look in verse 12 with me. What shall I return to the Lord for all His goodness to me? You know, so precious does the psalmist here find the Lord. So precious does he find the Lord that he asks the rhetorical question, how can I ever return such good done to me? How can I ever do that? You can't do it, can you? And when you recognize you can't nearly return the good that the Lord has given you, you recognize how precious the Lord is. Look in verse 13. He said, I will lift up my cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. And so you think about how precious do you find your salvation from sin? I mean, think about that. Where would your sin take you eternally? To hell. But when the Lord forgives you, how precious do you find that? Forgiveness. And so the psalmist is equating a cup with the imagery of salvation. And he said, this is my salvation. I'm lifting it up, and what's he doing? I'm praising the Lord for what he's given me. I'm praising the Lord for my cup of salvation because he has saved me. Look in verse 14. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Look, when you find precious, when you find precious our God and him saving you from sin, you will pledge to him to be a faithfully obedient Christian. Think about that. When you find precious our God and his willfulness to save you, it creates in you a pledge, a vow, V-O-W, a vow to be faithfully obedient to you. And here's what you hope. Here's what you hope when you find God precious in his salvation. Here's what you hope, that you get the chance to do it in front of other people. That you get the chance to fulfill your vows to the Lord in front of other people by being faithfully obedient to him. That's what you do. You're just praying for that opportunity. Verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. God finds us precious. And how does he find us precious? Here's how God finds us precious. He finds precious those who die in faithful service to him. Faithful service to him. That's who he finds precious. Because at their death, here's what happens. When you die as a faithful servant to God, what does God get? He gets you. He gets you. When you're a faithful servant to God and you die, and by the way, everybody knows here you're going to die, correct? As you're faithful to him all your life, you're choosing to be faithful to him. When you die, what does God get? He gets you. And guess what he says that's to him? That's precious. God finds it precious. You and I are scared to death of death sometimes. And I think we need to get over that as Christians. Because that's what God says. When you die, I find it to be a wonderful thing. Here's why. Because my flesh no longer separates me from God. My flesh no longer separates me from God. Verse 16. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. And when you find precious our God and him releasing you from your chains of sin, you can't help but want to serve him. I don't care what sin you've done, any sin, doesn't matter how it looks or when you've done it or what you did, it doesn't matter. All sin will send you to an eternity in hell. And when you recognize you've been saved from that, you say, God, I want to serve you. I want to honor you with my life. Verse 17. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. When you find precious our God and his goodness to you, to save you, you cannot help but want to worship God. You say, God, I just got to worship you. And you want to do it with other people. You know what all of us have in common in this room? Well, we've all sinned. And I'm hoping that every one of us in this room also can say, I've sinned, and I know also that my sin has been what? Forgiven. And with my sin forgiven, I get to worship with people who have been forgiven. That's a powerful connection. 18 and 19. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Look, when you find precious our God and his goodness to you, to save you, you can't help but want to worship God with others who have experienced the same thing. Same thing. And God finds it precious. Listen, God finds it precious when you are faithful to him, love him, and it shows. And so as you and I contemplate the reality of finding love, look, I love God because I'm precious to him. Choose to believe God finds you precious. You must choose to believe that. Everything about this world will tell you just the opposite. You must choose to believe that you're precious to God. But you don't know. I don't care what you've done or haven't done. When you're forgiven, you are a precious person to our Lord. And then two, choose to live out your preciousness in the presence of others. This means your attitude. When you know you're precious, your attitude changes. You must, as a Christian, believe that you're precious to our God, and then in turn live out that preciousness in the presence of others. Because, folks, we want to go to heaven and take as many people as we possibly can. Live out your preciousness in the presence of others. So what I didn't tell you about that November 17th in 1967 was this. On that camp, if you will, that base where those howitzers were located, there were 42 American men. And standing opposed to 42 American men was 1,500 Viet Cong. 1,500. At the end of the day, Sammy was one of the 12 Americans that survived. 12 fought off a battalion of 1,500 Viet Cong. 11 men put in for Sammy to receive the Medal of Honor. And so these days when Sammy goes on speaking tours, he makes the men and women in uniform hold the Medal of Honor. And they don't want to do it. They said, no, I don't want to do that. But Sammy tells them this. Sammy tells them the Medal of Honor is part theirs, and it gives the Medal of Honor more value. You see, there's something to be said about the camaraderie of men and women in uniform. Because men and women in uniform, they do this. They train for and face certain death. That's what they do. They train for to face certain death. And this is what Sammy said when he walked off that battlefield. He says, the reason we fought so hard is because we discovered that we loved each other. We were all we had. Those men are still my brothers. I went to war and found out about love. I learned what real love is. So much like those men and women that were clothed in military uniform that had something to do with the Medal of Honor, let me ask you something. Are you clothed in Christ today? Do you have the uniform of Christ on, if you will? Have you experienced the certainty of this? Have you experienced the certainty of your sinful death? You know you deserve a sinful death. You know that. But in turn, you have experienced a certainty of being saved from your sinful death through Jesus. Guess who fought very hard for you? Jesus did. Jesus fought so very hard for you, and Jesus wanted you to know forgiveness. And you know what Jesus' Medal of Honor was? The cross. The cross is Jesus' Medal of Honor. Sammy said, all people in uniform have a part in the Medal of Honor. So do each of us have a part in the cross. Because guess what happens? Your sin, my sin, put Jesus where? On the cross. I did that. You did that. I also know this, is that when I think about the cross, who deserved the cross? I did. You did. You deserved the cross. I deserved the cross. We did. But Jesus was the only one that can earn the Medal of Honor that we call the cross. Only Jesus could earn that cross. And so, our sin put Jesus on the cross. And so as you contemplate the reality of Jesus fighting to save your life from hell, you must realize how much your Heavenly Father loves you. He so truly loves you that he's willing to send his son to die a miserable death, the one that we deserved. And so if today you know the certainty of being saved, if you know the certainty of being saved from the certainty of your sinful death through Jesus, then you know God has made it easy for you to love Him. If you contemplate that, God has made it easy for you to love Him. And you also know, think about this, you also know that there are those sitting beside you today, today, right here, even online, today, that have faced the same certainty of your sinful death, they face the same certainty of their sinful death, and they have experienced the same certainty of being saved from their sin through Jesus. They've done that. And so as you contemplate that, earlier, think about this. You must come to the point. You must come to the point. Last screen, just slide 10. You have to come to the point to realize with profoundness the love you have for our Father and for those that share in that same love. Sitting here today, so you don't come to church just to deal with people in your church. You come to church recognize that these people have been saved by the very, very Father who sent Jesus to save you. And they call that camaraderie. So when Sammy got done with his wounds, he had terrible wounds from the RPG blast that hit his howitzer. He was covered on his whole right side with shrapnel. He had 30 fletchettes that went through his lower legs. He had some that landed in his lumbar spine. He was shot in the left hip with an AK-47 round. And so when Sammy was healing in the hospital, it took him weeks to heal. They were going to give him an honorable discharge because his body no longer worked like it's supposed to. And he said to his command, he says, "I can't go home. I have to go be with my guys." Because when you love people after facing death, you want to be with those people. You see that in the church? How many of us have faced certain death because of our sin? And that makes me want to be with you. Because I have someone that saved my life just like He saved you. And so Sammy said, I can't go back home. I want to be with my men. And they said, well, you can't go back in the firing line. Your body can't do it anymore. Your body can't do it. Sammy said, I'll do anything. So he became a cook. He became a cook so he could serve his men that he loved. He went from a guy firing a weapon, firing all sorts of weapons, to a guy now serving mashed potatoes. Can we not do any less in our church? The Church of Christ, not just this one, but all churches. Can we not recognize that we've been saved from so much that I can't not but want to serve those that Jesus has served through the cross? Amazing. I want to stand with you this morning. I want to sing with you. Alex is going to lead us in our last song together. And so let's stand together and I want to pray. Father, we love you. We give you praise for Jesus, and it's because of Jesus that we get a chance to be here today. Father, you're just such a blessing to us. And I just keep saying it and repeating it in my mind that as I've read through Psalms, it just becomes so apparent how much you love. Love so much that you sent your Son to serve us. That amazes me. Jesus, we know you're the only one worthy of the Medal of Honor called the cross. And we put you there. But you willfully said, I'll go there for you. And so, Lord, I don't know where our hearts are today, but if there's anyone here today that desires to talk about their own heart and where they are or aren't with you, let's talk after church. If you're a woman, we can have a woman here ready. If you're a guy, I'd be glad to talk with you. But, Lord, let's talk after church if that's someone here that wants that for their life. Praise your name, Jesus. We love you so very much and pray your name. Amen.
angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with men is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, ye have seen his natal star. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear, suddenly the Lord descends.
A chance to connect with the prayer guide. They're on the like you have been. The new prayer guides are back here in the back. Next Sunday's prayer Sunday. So Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.